The power of Prince is in his stimulation of our thought process, but this stimulus depends on our discussion of his key messages, which lead to freedom. Prince was targeted because of the power of his words, words that were subject to, surrendered to, pulse, life, harmony, beat. We must never forget that it is only with words used to disconnect us from ourselves that power holds our true power in check. Words planted in our minds, freezing our thought process, using the stunted, unborn love of parents. Last week we said that reclaiming the lexicon is reclaiming our thought process, and that we can only reclaim our thought process by possessing a new frame of reference. Prince was totally absorbed in this project, and because of power's suppression of it, of all he was trying to do, received no response from us. His tireless efforts did not result in the discussions he hoped would occur while he was here with us. Prince, alone in his exhortation unmet, said that we must be ruled by naught but love, a concept he equated with the source, the eternal. He said this directly. He modeled what he meant, and he showed us how to overcome the structures of obedience that got in the way of it, got in the way of our living by it, living the dictates of love as they speak through our bodies. And his sense of urgency, I'm convinced, was a consequence of his being targeted with EMF. He could not delude himself about or dilute the truth of the fascistic nature of the state, a fact to which he testifies, this assault by EMF on him. He testifies in his music and lyrics with eloquence. Once we know how and why this weapon exists, his documentation of its use on him is obvious. The recurring theme of death in his music is all about this. Initially, he thought that he was being assaulted for religious in quotes, reasons, due to his passionate advocacy of a body-loving, claiming embrace of sexuality. And it is clear, I hope, how this is the opposite of the marketizing, and by this I mean using to attain greater power under class, whether what one seeks is money or attention, marketizing of one's sexuality, which is the creative principle rooted in the eternal on which all of us must draw to be vital living things. Attacks by the so-called religious right, most notably Tipper Gore, the wife of Al Gore, Tipper Gore, Prince's, back then, they got on him hard after they were terrified by Purple Rain, by the, just the sheer, what's the right word, ubiquity of his presence in young people's minds and hearts. So most notably, Tipper Gore's, targeting him. And his response to her, by the way, was to appear naked on the cover of his album Love Sexy. So the religious right's attack on him reinforced this notion. By the time he was working on the album and film Graffiti Bridge, when he wrote New Power Generation, remember we listened to that during a show, I think it was the August 28, 2016 show, when he says straight up, lay down your funky weapon. You know, join us on the floor. Making love and music's the only thing we're fighting for, you know? I mean, and he starts 1999 with that slowed down voice, because after you've been assaulted, particularly over hours if you're trying to sleep. The electrical assault literally slows you down, and he uses that, slows your body down. And the way he documents it is how you feel. It's the feeling expression that he's so masterful at doing. I really wish, I hope some point I get some time to be with his music, try to figure out how he does this. But that's his slow down voice perfectly conveys what it feels like after you have been assaulted, particularly overnight. And he says in that voice, and at the beginning of 1999, "Don't worry, I won't hurt you," because I only want you to have some fun. You know, it is difficult to grasp why life itself, love itself, is threatening until we read Alice. And she breaks it all down. So when he wrote New Power Generation, someone had pulled his coat. And I'm wondering if it could have been Miles Davis. I'd really like to know when Miles met with him. Someone pulled his coat, or he figured out somehow, maybe he discovered Nicola, I don't know, had pulled his coat on the nature of the weapon as the source of the chronic physical ill health effects, if not about the reason for the assault. And we're talking, he's a very young man when he starts getting hit, in his early 20s. And I suspected that he continued for a time to think it was, to continue to think it was about, the reason for it was about his advocacy of the honest expression of one's sexual longing. I mean, he knew it wasn't about race because they killed Elvis, and that's now that we know that they have this weapon and what they use it for and how it has fulfilled their centuries-long longing to be able to eliminate folks secretly. Now it's easy to see. And Prince has that line. And certainly we know that Prince believes this. And if you are ever the recipient of this treatment, you think so too, believe me. Prince has that line in the song "Face Down," "Dead like Elvis, 1-2, dead like Elvis." You know what he's saying? Face down. Somebody once told him he wouldn't take Prince through the ringer, let him go down as a washed up singer. Ain't that a thinking all along that he wanted to be rich. Never respected the root of all evil, and he still don't to this day. Bury him face down, let the motherfuckers kiss an ass, okay? Face down, dead like Elvis. Told him he wanted to sing a song about a black child going buck wild, and they just laughed in his face. Talk to your lawyer, but you got no case. What you need to do is keep your place. Next time you pull a card, it better be an ace, motherfucker. You can lay face down, dead like Elvis. And that is a powerful line. So interesting for its wealth of meaning. I want some time with it. Different show. Prince consistently, for almost four decades, urged young people in every way he could to think. Think with their hearts. Think furiously, urged on by our body's voice, about the structures of suppression of us, obedience, that we do not question, that we take for granted. None but him said, "You are right not to fit in. Your body tells you true." The structures of obedience kill the thought process, our ability to be full humans, and to make our growth the point of our existence, a continuous process. But there were also moments in his life in a power-fed craft inundated by falseness. I mean, there were people trying particularly, I guess, when they realized he thought it was about sexuality, they Probably, I am suspecting, just like I saw them at one point trying to pull him into making this about race. A lot of folks encouraged him in that belief that it was about his sexuality, and definitely were trying to pull him away about his explicit and free and loving expression of sexuality, which there was probably an element of that at first, but rapidly became about something else as they realized they had much bigger problems. But it is also about claiming the definitions. What they at that point had figured out, they could claim that word sexuality and just tie it into the commodification of it. So in any case, there were moments when continuously assaulted, his need for solace was all he could attend to. As I said in another show, the need to be held when you are being assaulted invisibly, no one sees, no one cares, is so, so strong. But he kept going, and he held on to his love despite the continuous double assault. And I was just thinking as I was saying that about the ways in which people trying to pull him away from leading young people into taking back our world. That's what they were afraid of. So sexuality was one way. Religion, Jehovah's Witnesses, clearly another. Race, make it be about the fact that, you know, it's black folk being targeted as opposed to the fact that they want to claim the world, human energy, and realize their global totalitarian vision. He figured that out in time, but it definitely takes time. And we've talked a lot in these shows about who we owe in order to piece together that puzzle. It takes time, and we gotta expedite these discussions. Every single one who's listening and has the ability to get these discussions going, emphasize the importance of the interdisciplinary analysis in order to see the seeing from the vantage of the whole is what we're calling that. And so we needed Alice Miller and Terrence Hopkins and Emmanuel Wallerstein and Giovanni Arrighi and Karl Popper. And I also credit Miklos Neasley and definitely Nikola Tesla for reasons we're exploring right now. A lot of people were critical, including Jeremy Bentham, for instance, even though he came from the opposite end, the opposite perspective of things. He was honest, and it is honesty that is desperately needed in a world so inundated by falseness. Literally, they have multiplied their numbers by recruiting and training young people with Plato, and not their fault, but this is the reality we got. We are going to have to drive these discussions forward and steel ourselves to not be pulled off track, because there's going to be a lot of false folks thrown in our path.